what's the cost of not taking any action in those areas of your life? And I was like, what are you talking about? He goes, I want you to think about your life 1 year from today. And I want you to think about where it's going to be if you keep doing the exact same thing you're doing right now. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, that's really good question. He could tell my wheels were turning.
Yeah.
He's like, call me back within 24 hours. And I'm like, and I looked at the clock. We got off the phone. I think it was like right at like 10 a.m. I called him back at 11 minutes after 10. And I said, I'm in. And I don't even know what the hell I was even saying yes to. I was just like, I'm in. It just like, I don't want what I thought about. I want something new.
If you're like me and support American values, then this is for you. Blackout Coffee is handcrafted in small batches and it's roasted just 2 to 3 days right here in America before it ships to you. By far, America's strongest coffee. See coffee from other brands. They've been sitting in storage and on shelves for months. They have horrible taste, limited flavors, but you don't get that with Blackout Coffee. And we're talking over 30 flavors available, including my favorite, cinnamon French toast. So choose Blackout and get ready for an amazing day.
Larry, you're a husband, you're a father, you're the CEO of the Dad Edge, you're the founder of the Dad Edge Alliance, and so much more, man. Thank you for your time, dude. I appreciate it.
Hey, man. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate this. I like your background, too, by the way.
Oh, thank you so much, man. It's from an old sponsor of my show. Way back when I first started, they sent me out this flag. It was a company called Combat Flags, and they sent me this one, man. And I thought, man, I'm just going to put this up as my backdrop. And it's been probably my number one, I would say, thing that people notice about me immediately. So, man, I appreciate that.
I like it. I like it. I can see why. It's pretty cool. That's awesome.
I like to kick things off by going back a bit. Like, where did you grow up, and what was childhood like for you?
So I grew up in St. Louis. Okay. I was born in California. I was born in San Francisco, nice. Raised out here in St. Louis though. How was I raised? Wow. That's a deep one. So my mom and biological father got married pretty young. I think they were like 21 and they had me about 4 years after they got married. So they were like 25 ish. And then about 9 months after I was born, my dad and mom split. They divorced. It was a really bad relationship. I mean, they were like kids. So like, yeah, just going through rookie mistakes and that kind of thing.
Sure.
But he left and I didn't have any recollection of him whatsoever. It was just me and my mom until I was four. My mom met a guy when I was four and she brought him over for dinner one night. I'll never forget it because like, in my mind, in my four-year-old head, like I thought dads just like moms went out, you know, they like kind of like left the nest and they found a dad somewhere and they bring the dad back. Like that's literally what I thought it was. Yeah. And I'll never forget like this guy coming in our house and I shook his hand and my mom was like, Larry, this is Joe. Joe, meet Larry. I shook this guy's hand and with this big, huge smile on my face and being a four-year-old, I asked him, are you going to be my dad? Because I thought my mom had done it. Like, and I think my mom kind of like took that as like a Jerry Maguire sign, you know, when Renee Zellweger sees, you know, the little kid like hug him and she's like, oh my God, like I need to marry this guy. And I think that was kind of like what she did. And yeah, she married him and he completed our family. And I thought it was awesome at first. And then realized really, really quickly that I look back on it now. I don't think my mom ever truly loved him. I think she more like loved the idea of us being a complete family. And I think that kind of bit both of them in the rear a little bit. And then the marriage just got, I mean, progressively worse year after year. They just fought all the time. And after about 10, he left and my mom continued to date, get remarried. My mom was remarried a total of 3 times. And every guy was kind of the same guy, you know, like partier and drinker and that kind of thing. Every guy she dated, same guy, same thing. And then, you know, my childhood was just sort of like, it was just this revolving door of kind of toxic male father figures really. And I kind of weird, but I was 30 years old and it took me till I was 30 years old to have a relationship with my biological father and have him by accident. So I was in a coffee shop for a meeting, 30 years old, and my dad came walking in for his morning coffee and I knew who he was. I recognized him because I met him a few times when I was 12. And he hadn't changed much. And it's been 18 years. We now have a relationship. So, and we've had one for 18 years, but really crazy childhood. The reason I do what I do is because of, I just want to learn. And I've got 4 boys, 17, 16, 10, and 7, been married now 20 years this year.
Come on.
Actually, it'll be 21 years this year. It was 20 last year. But it's been a ride, man. And I can't say that I've loved every bit of it, but the parts that I didn't love, I now love because I've learned a lot from them. It's been a journey for sure.
Man, the similarities in your story as a childhood. Aged, I was a little bit older. I think my parents got divorced when I was 11, but very, very similar stories, man. Where my mom had the rotating door, I would say, of men, but very on the physical abusive side. And I actually had to fight my mom's boyfriend when I was 13 years old.
No way.
And, I mean, crazy. And it set me off a trajectory of the next 10 years of my life, just battling drugs, addictions, and really not feeling like I was worthy of anything, man. And I'm on this, I'm 18 years sober now, but man, just crazy journey of that childhood after my parents got divorced, man. It was nutty for a while, for sure.
Wow. That's pretty crazy, huh?
Yeah, man. You know, and when I had kids, it was like this eye-opening moment for me of like, all right, now I've got to change into this protective mode, and I don't want my kids to have that same life as I did. Like, you first became a dad, I think 2006-ish or so. I think you said your son was 17. There's no manual for raising kids, and we know that. Like, what was the biggest struggle for you as a new dad, and what skills did you have to learn to overcome that struggle?
It was, to be honest, it was exactly that. It was that I didn't have the skills.
Yeah.
I didn't have the communication skills. I didn't have the patience skills, the leadership skills. It was like I was winging it, almost like it was the first day of school all the time.
Yeah.
And that becomes really frustrating. You know, if you think about when you start a new job, you know, the hardest part about starting a new job is starting the new job and being new, right? Mm-hmm. It's also an adventure. So there's some joy in it for sure. But there's also a lot of frustration in it because you're like, man, I just want to know all the answers. And then you're doing that, you know, you go to training, you start doing that job more. And then suddenly like the answers like start to come and your journey becomes less frustrating. In fact, you know, people who are like really into their jobs and their roles and they've been doing it for like a couple decades or whatever it is, right? I mean, like it becomes like, man, I just love it. Most of the time it's like, I just love this job. Well, the reason we love the job so much is because we know it so well and we can probably do it so well that it takes like very little brain power to know what to do, when to do it, what to say, when to say it, you know, how to do whatever, right? We know all the systems and all the tricks and all everything. With fatherhood, it feels like you never really truly get out of training. Like you know, every day is the first day on the job sometimes, right? And, you know, I think that's unfortunate. I think that's a miss. And I think we tack that up as men. Most of us will be like, well, it's fatherhood. You know, I'm supposed to like just figure it out as I go, or I'm supposed to like wing it. Right. But that's a very frustrating journey from time to time. You know, what would it be? You know, the reason I started Dad Edge was because like, what if I actually was able to learn the skills of being a better communicator within my marriage? What if I was able to learn how to create more intimacy with my wife? What if I was able to learn skills to be a more patient and resilient and responsive dad versus the one that reacts? Because quite frankly, having more patience with your kids is literally just being more resilient. It's just packaged up and marketed just a little difference into like patience versus resilience, or response versus reacting. But the good news is you can learn those things. Just like you can learn a skill on a job, you can learn the skills to be a better father, to be a better man, to be a better husband. You can like literally learn the tangible tactical skills to do those things. You don't have to guess at it.
Right. Man, so good, dude. So powerful there, man. I remember, you know, when my daughter was first born, I had no idea what I was doing, right? You know, but like I got to take my wife and my newborn baby home for the first time. And we lived 3 miles from the hospital that she was born in.
That, oh, wow. There you go.
That drive home, though, was the scariest drive I've ever been in.
Like, that's 100%.
I'm driving with this new baby in the, you know, the back seat, and I'm coming to an intersection that has a free right turn, and this dude jumps the curb and almost hits my car. I'm like, this is crazy. And I get another mile down the road, and it's this straightaway, and this dude flies past me on a motorcycle going like 100 miles an hour. And in my rearview mirror, he wipes out and slides like 100 feet down on concrete. I'm going, this is crazy. I just want to get home. I never want to leave again. Like,
are you for real?
Oh, totally, dude. It was nutty, dude.
Oh, that's hilarious. That's karma at its finest, man, right there.
Craziest drive ever, dude. I was like, I'm never leaving. Like, you know, but I mean, my wife and I, we spent the first 5 years just getting to know each other before we had kids. And I think we needed that. We both come from crazy, kind of broken homes. And we're like, we didn't know what marriage was about, or, you know, a good marriage looked like. But we knew what we didn't want. And unfortunately, I brought a lot of that in at the beginning, and had to go through that training and counseling and figure it all out. And still, like you said, it's every day is a new day on the job trying to learn, you know, things on that. It's crazy.
It is, man. It for sure.
as a podcaster, I love talking to other podcasters, and you started your podcast, I think in 2015, but you've interviewed over 700 people. I just had my 500th interview recently, and man, people need to be listening to your show. Why did you decide to start the podcast, and then having that podcast, how has that helped you personally?
So I actually started the podcast with that actually in mind. The podcast was actually never meant to like really be anything more than a podcast. It was never meant to be a mastermind. It was never meant to really be a movement or a mission. It was literally like, I just wanted to have better conversations with people that were smarter than me. That's really it. That is the biggest reason right there. And that's exactly for the first several years is what it, actually what it's always done for, you know, ever since inception. I probably need to update my bio because now we just crossed over 1120 episodes.
Come on, man.
So that's awesome. It's been a lot of experts, but it's been so cool because like what I've been able to do for almost, this is my ninth year now, is it's been 9 years of the best education that I could possibly ask for. You know, I mean, like, here's what I'll tell you. If you really think about like hours, you know, time, money, I mean, you know, this, it's not cheap. Like the expenses behind a podcast are not cheap. You know, it's quite a bit to put into it. Right. I mean, it's like an education, and then the time factor, it's like, it could be like a part-time job.
Totally.
And if I probably add up, it's probably been well over 2,500 hours, 30,000 hours, give or take, of podcasting now and learning. I can literally tack this experience up as the thing that probably saved my marriage. The thing that probably has solidified the connection with my kids, right? I'm not saying every day is sunshine and rainbows. I'm not saying that at all. There are still challenges. There's still a lot of things that happen.
Yep.
But without podcasting, if I'm being really honest with you, I probably wouldn't be here today. I probably would have, there were some really, really dark times that happened in my life and I was headed down a path that probably I wouldn't have survived, to be quite honest. And it's truly has saved my life, my marriage, my kids, everything.
It's so powerful, man. I think some of my best friends today are guys that I've had on my podcast over the years, and the impact that they've made on my life just in a short conversation and then turned into many more conversations. And I think podcasting, yeah, there's a lot of great relationships and networking and stuff that comes out of that. But for me, I look at it as a legacy thing, man. Like I wish I could go back 3-4 generations deep and hear my great, great grandfather's voice and hear his story from him. I can't do that, but I can pass that on 3, 4, 5, 6 generations deep of the Allen tribe. And I really look at that, man. Like I get to share my story and this awesome thing that I get to do called podcasting with my kids and future generations, man. And like you, I think I was in some dark times and the podcast really helped save me. And the lessons I've learned through podcasting has helped save my marriage for sure, man. There's, like you said, not every day is rainbows and sunshine, you know, and the podcasting has helped so much, man.
Agreed. I think it's an education that, you know, I encourage every person to look into.
Yeah.
Just know what you're in for. You know, like I have guys who over the years they've reached out and they want coaching on how to start a podcast. And my first question is, you sure you want to do this? Cause a lot of them are just like, well, yeah, I just buy my mic and start talking. I'm like, there's a lot more that goes into this than totally. What you think. And I always tell these guys, I'm like, if you're willing to give your podcast a year, then I'll coach you on how to build it and what to do, what not to do, you know, everything, you know. But if you're like, yeah, I think I'll give it a try, let's not waste each other's time. You know, let's really think about this. Cause if it's something, cause most people go through, I think there's a new term out there, or maybe it's not a new term, but I just heard it not too long ago, which is pod burn.
Yeah.
Which you just get burnt out on doing on the podcast, which, you know, people get really caught up in the numbers and whether or not their audience is growing. And maybe that was one of the reasons, like, I've been able to sustain it for so long because like, if I was focused on the numbers, I would have given it up within the first year because it really wasn't hitting anywhere. It wasn't until probably 18 months that's when like really it started taking off, but it took like a year and a half, like, you know, week in, week out, never missing a show, just hoping that at some point, you know, it would take off. And finally, you know, finally it did.
Sure.
But I think a lot of people give up podcasting before it even becomes, you know, something that could blow up for them.
Huge, man. That's so important. And I never looked at the numbers for the first 5 years that I was doing podcasting. Yeah, man, I was just like,
smart idea.
I just want to do podcasts because I love podcasts. I love talk with people, man. Huge, man.
Hey, this is a quick shout out from one of our awesome sponsors. Check this out. Thank you to Tracy down at Tranquil Turn Massage in downtown Coeur d'Alene. Look, my wife and I, we see Tracy and her team every single month for a couples massage, and it is the best thing. Tracy is a master massage specialist and a Hanu Ashiatsu trainer. You need to reach out to Tracy and her team. Make sure that you tell them that I sent you, and you'll get $25 off your next massage. Also, while you're there, check out CDA Brows, Body, and Ink. Make sure to tell Tracy that I sent you, and you'll save $100 on your next tattoo brows and plasma tightening services.
I want to get into the Dad Edge Alliance, though, and the Dad Edge Boardroom. You have these two sort of things on your website. Like, what are these, and can you deep dive into kind of like the unique aspect between the two? Like, what makes your program stand out to other like dad programs that are out there?
You know, I would never, you know, probably come, yeah, I would never compare like, well, this is what ours is and what this is what theirs is, you know. I gotta be honest, man, there's there needs to be more guys doing stuff like this. I'll never forget, I don't know if you've ever had John Broman on your show. He's the founder of Front Row Dads. But he's a good friend, always has been. I had him on my show back in 2015 when I first started, and then 2016 he asked me to come out to his he was hosting an event, which his thing was the Front Row. He runs a nonprofit that helps terminal children, basically like kind of like a Make-A-Wish thing. Where they get to have an experience, you know, in their last year of life. And then all of a sudden he ran a retreat called the Front Row Dads. I'm like, what's this all about? And he invited me out to be a speaker. And then he pulls me aside at this event and he's like, hey man, hey. And he looked really concerned. He's like, I really need to talk to you about this. And I'm like, what do you need to talk about? He's like, well, he's like, you know, I got this retreat, you know, I'm doing this for a reason. And, you know, I'm really going to move forward into this whole dad space. You know, you and I are friends and I don't want us to be competitors. And like, I just like smiled at him. I just had this big smile on my face and he just kept talking and he's like, why are you smiling? And I'm like, I'm smiling because I'm not offended at all. I don't look at you as a competitor. I was like, I was like, John, I was like, how many billions of dads are walking the planet? Like, I can't serve them all. You can't serve them all. We actually need 100,000 John Romans is what we need. That's what the world needs. Like, the mission of the Dad Edge is to change the world one family at a time, one man at a time, that he can go create the marriage that he wants. He can go create that connection with his kids that he wants. He can be on it. It sounds morbid. It's not. He can be on his deathbed knowing I left zero on the table. Nothing. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a few regrets, sure, but they're minimal, right? Compared to what it could have been. So I was like, we can't possibly serve the masses unless there's more people doing this. So But to get back to your question, it's kind of funny. I'll share this funny story with you, how Dad Edge Alliance even got started.
Yeah.
Like I said, Dad Edge was never meant to be a movement. It was never meant to be an organization or a business. It was just a therapeutic hobby that helped me learn. I joined a mastermind for the first time in 2015, and I will never, ever, ever forget it. And I'll never forget it because I had no clue what the heck it even was. I had a good friend of mine, maybe you've had him on your show, Aaron Walker. He runs another mastermind called Iron Sharpens Iron. He calls it ISI. Okay. Aaron's in his 60s now and he's from Nashville, and he when you talk to him, you can't help but smile because he's like, hey man, Larry, it's so good to see you, man. So anyway, like he invited me to join his mastermind. You need to join my mastermind. It's ISI, Larry, Iron Sharpens Iron. We'll help you, man, with your marriage, with your kids, your business. Like, and I'm like, what are you even talking about? Like, what is this mastermind? So then he explains it to me. He's like, listen, he's like, mastermind is a group of like-minded individuals that all share common goals, right? Whether it's in their marriage, their faith, their business, their health, their wealth, whatever. He's like, we actually encapsulate all of those things. And he's like, you know, you get in rooms like that, you get to learn from other men and what we're teaching, the whole nine yards, and it completely elevates all areas of your life. And I'm like, all right. I was like, well, how much is that? And he goes, it's $500. I was like, what, a year? He goes, no, a month. And I'm like, I laughed. I was like, Aaron, I was like, I don't have $500. This was at the time.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't have $500, man. And he's like, Yeah, I know. He goes, well, here's the thing, Larry. He goes, you come and do life with us, you're going to get everything I told you. Clarity, relationships, marriage you want, relationship with your kids. You're going to have so much clarity, you're not even going to know what to do with it. Your life will get incrementally better. And this guy, he knew what he was talking about. He spent 25 years, the past 25 years in a mastermind with Dave Ramsey, Dan Miller, Dan Abram, I think as well. And he's like, you know, if you come and do life with us, it's going to cost you $500 and an hour of your time every week, but your ROI is going to be everything that I said. He goes, there's one thing you're not looking at though. And I'm like, okay, what's that? And he goes, what's the cost of not doing that? What's the cost of not taking any action in those areas of your life? And I was like, what are you talking about? He goes, I want you to think about your life 1 year from today. And I want you to think about where it's going to be if you keep doing the exact same thing you're doing right now. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, that's really good question. He could tell my wheels were turning.
Yeah.
He's like, call me back within 24 hours. And I'm like, and I looked at the clock. We got off the phone. I think it was like right at like 10 a.m. I called him back at 11 minutes after 10. And I said, I'm in. And I don't even know what the hell I was even saying yes to. I was just like, I'm in. It just like, I don't want what I thought about. I want something new. And I did that mastermind and I was like, I'll give it a shot for a month. And I think I was there for almost a year. Mm. And it was within that year, you know, Aaron pulled me aside one time. He's like, why don't you start this for dads? Like start a program for dads, do what we do. And I'm like, man, I would love that. I was like, how do I do that? He told me how, and I did it. And we've had over 4,000 men in the past 8 years do life with us.
Wow.
And man, it's been amazing. Like we've had so many, like it's countless success stories. Mm-hmm. Guys will come in. So you ask what it is. It's a mastermind for dads, husbands, and fathers. Our dads, husbands, and fathers, men, husbands, and fathers. And we help men with marriage, communication, connection. We help them with their connection with their kids, you know, creating better conversations with their kids, tactical things. We help them in their health, with their wealth, with their mindset, leadership. Those are the areas we help men with. And man, over the years, I can't even count how many success stories we've had. I mean, I'm talking like some of them, some guys come in, they're telling me about their marriage. And I'm like, I sit there and scratch my head and be like, I don't know, man.
Yeah.
I was like, you come in and learn. I was like, I hope this helps you. But like this, like in the back of my mind, I'm like, this sounds like absolutely like there's no way. Mm-hmm. And guys will turn it around. And I'm like, holy crap. So that's what we help men with. We help men on the daily. We have, 45 call teams that meet every week. And about 750 men that do life with us on the daily.
Come on, man.
Yeah.
That is huge, dude. Legacy is huge for me. And for you, I believe it is as well. Like, let's fast forward 50 years. You know, what's that legacy that you want your sons to be able to say about you?
50 years, man. I guess my 17-year-old will be 67. He'll be a grandpa. That's almost hard to think about. Some of the things, I'll be really honest. I'm always like very pleasantly surprised because like how I started with marriage and how I started with fatherhood, I shouldn't be, I'm undeservingly blessed. Mm-hmm. And I definitely believe in second, third, fourth, maybe even 19 chances at this point.
Yeah.
Maybe more.
Seven times, but 77.
Seven is sometimes every day. But here's what I'll tell you. Now that I have older boys, I have a 17-year-old and a 16-year-old. I'm already starting to see that. Mm. And what I mean by that, I have young men that somehow, some way still want to be at home. And their favorite place to be is under our own roof. And like last night, like I hope my son's, my 15-year-old or 16-year-old's girlfriend doesn't listen to the show, because my son was supposed to go over to her house last night for dinner and he stayed with us. He's like, I don't know if I want to go over there tonight. And I was like, why? He's like, I don't know. He's like, I like it here. Mm. And I was like, I would have never said that at 16 years old. I'd be like, I'm gonna go hang out with my girlfriend.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? That's it. But like we're starting to see, you know, not starting, like all the kids' friends gravitate towards our home, which I love that. Like I had 10, 16, 15 and 16-year-old boys spend the night at my house because they were celebrating my 16-year-old's birthday. And I'm like, and all of them come here. My 17-year-old is the same way. Like I see a lot of our core values that operate within those young men. Like, mm-hmm. I see my two boys, like they'll completely and totally cut ties and friendships with their friends that do drugs, which I can't even believe that, you know? Yeah. And they're just like, yeah, I don't tolerate that, you know? Or like, yeah, my 16-year-old went to the gym on Christmas. I'm like, why are you going to the gym on Christmas? I'm not sharing that because like, oh, look, I'm like, why are you doing that? He's like, because I just want to be better. I just want to be better. Mm. You know, I just, you know, it's either this or sit around. Like, we're done with Christmas. I want to go work out. Just things like that. So I think legacy, it boils down to one word, and it's connection.
Yeah.
Because one thing that I can tell you about our family is that while every day is not sunshine and rainbows, there is some ugliness, of course, but we're all incredibly connected to each other. Mm-hmm. And that's what I want for them. Like, I want them to be really, really connected with their kids, with their grandkids. And I think if they were to look back on legacy, they're going to say one thing that my dad did really well in our family was he connected with all of us really well, and we connected with each other as a result as well.
Mm. Man, so powerful, dude. So powerful. I love that. And man, the fact that your kids can say, dude, I want to stay home. Like, that's something that that's huge, man. Shocked. I mean, I remember I was like, I'm out. Like, I'm not hanging around, you know? So good. I love to finish the show with a fun question. I'm a big music guy. So I'd love to ask the question, like, what type of music do you listen to? Or do you have a favorite band that you like to listen to?
I love that question. It totally depends on what I'm doing.
Okay.
So like, if I'm working, you'll find me listen to like some, like I've really been like, going on YouTube, and they've got like these great things, like 3 hours of like flow state music, which is just sort of like this great work vibe music.
Yep.
So if I'm cranking out like some content or doing something where I need to be like in that, I'll be listening to that. If I'm in the car with my 16-year-old, it's rap, because that's what he listens to. And I'm just like, I joke with him all the time, and I'm like, why do all your rap songs sound the same? Everything. He's like, bleh, bleh, bleh. Like all this, we laugh about it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, totally.
And then, if I'm in the gym, it's more like hard rock. You'll hear AC/DC, Avenged Sevenfold, you know, Rev Theory, like Breaking Benjamin. Those are the tunes you'll, if you were in my AirPods, that's what you'd be hearing me.
That's play. Awesome. Yeah, love it, man. Love it. Yeah, I used to be straight metalhead, Korn, Rob Zombie, you know, Slipknot, all those guys in high school. And then it was like, I worked for Universal Records for a year, and they said, well, you actually have to listen to other kinds of music too. So it kind of got me to listen to other types of music. So now I'm kind of all over the place, but back in the party days, man.
Yeah. You can, was it Dig Through the Ditches and Burn Through the Witches and Scram in the back of my, I don't know what he says.
Totally.
Yeah, that was my jam too, growing up.
Yeah, all about going to concerts. I think I've probably been to about 175 plus concerts over my lifetime, man. And it was just I lived a rock star lifestyle for a long time. I don't know how to play anything, but especially working for Universal, I was there and backstage and, you know, 2 to 3 concerts a week. And it was pretty wild, man. And I look back and I'm like, those are fun days, but I would never want to continue that for sure. Like there was specifically a moment when I was in my early 20s, I was 22 and I was working for the record label, and I was at a show, and there was another gal that was in her early 30s. That obviously, like, for me at that point, I'm like, oh, she's way older now, but like, I'm at 44 now. But I'm like, at that point, I was like, dude, I don't want to be her age and still doing this 5 nights a week. And I just remember that moment so clearly. That was like the first kind of process where I'm like, okay, I got to start making some changes. Oh, man.
That's so funny, man.
Dude, Larry, this is such a great conversation, man. You're an absolute world changer. I love what you're doing with the Dad Edge, man. And your story is unbelievable, man. You are impacting so many men out there, man. Thank you for taking the time and joining the show today.
Oh, thanks for having me, man. You're doing good work. You really are. So thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for checking out the show today. I really appreciate it. I hope that my guest was able to bring you some amazing wisdom and knowledge to help you continue to fight for your goals, your dreams, and your purpose. If you could do me one big favor and just hit that subscribe button, I would so appreciate it. Thank you so much for your time. Keep changing the world. I believe in you. Have an amazing day.